Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Today I'm joined by Alex Horosh, Managing Editor of Whistle Out Australia, the internet comparison website. Thank you so much for joining me today, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me, Julia.
Alex, most people seem to only consider a new mobile plan when they're buying a new phone. What are the other reasons that people might like to change plans?
There's a couple of key reasons you should think about buying a new phone plan. So the most important one, I'd say, is if your needs have changed. Are you using less data because you're working from home? Maybe you're using more data because you're streaming a series at the gym. Maybe you're paying excess charges. If any of these things are true, it's probably time to have a look at a new phone plan that matches your current needs rather than the needs when you got your phone. For market, it's also really competitive. So if you care about getting the best deal possible, I'd say it's generally worth checking out what's on offer every 6 or so months, especially because we see so many providers running introductory offers where you can save for your first 6 months. So you can always kind of keep jumping from deal to deal to make sure you're getting the best possible price.
I know that when you help us with the Best of the Best Awards, it's a very popular section. People really don't know enough about mobile plans and what they should look at and what is new out there. It seems to be a very competitive space.
Yeah, no, it's always changing. And because there are so many providers, like right now on the website, we're tracking about 30 different mobile providers. And most people think their choices are only Telstra, Optus or Vodafone. So there's so much more beyond that.
And people seem to be a bit afraid, actually, to go out beyond the big ones in case they don't get the coverage or they don't have people to speak to, you know, when they need help and so on. What would you recommend there?
So I think the most important thing to realise is that with the smaller providers, they're all powered by the same network as big guys. So if you go with a Mason, for example, they use the Optus network and the coverage will be identical to Optus. So you're not really missing out. And all of the plans are contract-free. So you can jump on a plan from an Optus MVNO like a Mason or a Telstra MVNO like Boost or a Vodafone MVNO like Kogan. And if you're not happy, you can just leave. There's nothing from stopping you just testing out these providers and seeing if they work for you. And if you're not happy, the most important thing to know is just swap. There's no reason to stay.
It seems like when we look at the rest of the best award winners, you see the same names coming up in the investments and the superannuation and even the insurers. But when it comes to broadband and mobile plans, it seems to be a very vibrant area where things are changing all the time. Would that be right?
You know, that is correct. It's just a highly competitive space. And since a lot of the time the services that you get are pretty similar, the main way telcos differentiate is by price. So we've been in a state of price war for the last few years where everyone wants to have the best deal. And that means ultimately the consumer wins.
How do you compare the plans? How does someone know that it is cheaper overall to switch providers?
Well, a great way to start by comparing plans is by going to Whistle Out, where you can actually put in what price you're looking for or how much data you want, or you can even sort by popularity. And so, like I said, we cover about 30 different mobile providers right now. And so it just shows you a good range of what's on offer. So one of my colleagues, before she started at Whistle Out, she hadn't really used comparison sites before, and now she changes plans religiously. She went from paying about $6 per month when she started and is now constantly paying less than $15 per month. So it's about like having a look what you're paying, how much data you've got, and how much data you're actually using on your mobile plan, and then going for something that matches that need. Because there's no point being on a 100 gigabyte plan if you're only using 10 gigabytes per month. You're just paying for a lot of data that you're not using.
Are there times of the year where providers offer these special introductory plans or they're doing deals? And is it the same for all providers? Like, for example, do all providers seem to change in December or January? Or are there times of the year to look out for new deals?
There's like no real rhyme or reason to when you can get the best deal. Sometimes we've seen providers do special offers around events like Click Frenzy and Black Friday, where you can get like an even better deal than usual. A lot of telcos are in a permanent state of running a deal. So a lot of the time, some of the smaller guys will always have an introductory offer because they're often competing on price. So, you know, a smaller provider like Circles.life, which many Australians wouldn't have heard of, they're differentiating by being a price leader where they're offering you 100 gigabytes for $30 per month, exact for your first 6 months. And like, you know, that's a pretty eye-catching deal, especially when you think about like how much you pay for that on Telstra or Optus.
And so just to be very basic, if you want to change providers, do you keep the same phone number?
You always keep your phone number when changing plans. Your phone number, your ownership of your phone number is protected by Australian law. So your telco always has to relinquish it and pass it on to your new provider. You can get a new number if you want, but you know, you can always keep your number.
And how do you get out of a bad plan? You know, obviously people sign up for periods and, you know, they bought a new phone through, say, Optus or Telstra and you've signed up for 2 years or whatever. How do you get out of it if you're unhappy or it isn't what you expected?
So most plans are now contract free, so you can just leave. Like there's nothing that forces you to stay with a provider. Even if you've bought a phone with a provider and you're paying it off, you can just pay out your remaining value of your phone and then swap to another provider, which kind of sucks because it is still like, you know, if you're halfway through paying off your phone, then you might have to pay about $700 like remaining on your value of your phone to get out. But it could be a better option than, you know, sticking with a service you're unhappy with. If you actually have signed a contract, there's not always as much you can do just because like those contracts tend to have things like exit fees. So you might have to pay off like half remaining value of your contract to leave. But if it's because something with the service has changed, say you were getting coverage at home and then you haven't, or you've moved to a new address and you're no longer getting the mobile service you expected, it's always worth talking to your telco to see if there's anything they can do and release you from your contract. It doesn't make sense to pay for your plan if you can't get service. And if they don't help, you could always escalate a genuine issue to the telecommunications industry ombudsman and see if they can help out.
I know that's really great and helpful advice. So what sort of things should you look at as a family? You know, can you get good family plans or is it best to have individual plans?
So there are a few kind of like family offers going around from like providers like Vodafone, where for every extra mobile plan you put on your account, you can save an extra 5% off your total mobile bill. But then I think you have to remember that Vodafone's cheapest plan is $40. So even like if you've got five $40 plans on your account, they only come down to $36 with that discount. Sorry, $32 with that discount. So if everyone's actually generally using 40 gigabytes, that's not a bad deal. But if you've got kids that don't need that kind of allowance, then we've seen like a lot of movement in the $10 to $20 space lately where you can get really cheap plans that still have about 10 gigabytes of data. So you might be better off by getting two cheaper plans for your kids and then getting the plan you need for yourself.
And do you have to be at the same address to have those deals or can friends do it? You know, how does that work?
A lot of the times, the telcos do want you to be at the same address. So like doing it with friends is probably a bit of a grey area. I don't know if they necessarily catch you, but it's something that tends to go against their terms of service.
Yeah.
Like in the same way that, you know, we're not meant to share Netflix accounts.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And now that everyone has access to the NBN, how's everything going with that? Are we at a point to sort of relax on our broadband needs and so on, or are we still being competitive in that space?
The market is still changing, and as with the mobile space, there are a lot of introductory offers going on. Like, it's very easy for new providers to get started with the NBN, so we're still seeing extra competition, and we're seeing providers try to be price leaders. So it is worth checking out the options because, again, you can save for your first 6 months with a provider and then swap to a different provider and just saving money that way. We've also just seen 5G home internet become more widely available. Telstra just launched its first 5G home internet plan, which is, I guess, like an internet plan powered by the same mobile networks that our phones use. And a lot of the time, these plans tend to represent better value. So that I've personally swapped from NBN to 5G home internet because I'm paying less money for a faster connection. So I'm getting about, on average, 300 megabits per second of download speed, and I'm paying $85 per month. Wow. So for an NBN plan that fast, I'd be looking at around 130.
I guess for some people, there's a bit of a fear if they go with a smaller company or someone they haven't really heard of, what happens if they go out of business?
In the time that I've been covering telecommunications, which is coming up on 6 years, I've never really seen this happen. I've seen some providers get sold. For example, a Mason was doing NBN plans for a while, and then it decided that the business wasn't right for them. So then they sold its customer base to Southern Phone. So those customers still had an NBN connection, but they would just move to a different provider. Even like with mobile providers, we've seen get sold, like Genie Mobile got sold to a Mason actually, and OVO got sold to a Mason. And then those customers just became a Mason customers. And since these plans are contract free, there's still nothing that stops you from leaving if you're not happy with being a Mason customer or being a Southern Phone customer. So I think there's just very little risk because these plans are contract free. And, you know, the flip side is if you're happy, you're probably going to end up saving quite a bit of money.
Do people change a lot? Is it an area where people feel like they can change providers easily and they're happy to feel confident that they've picked a good provider for their next mobile plan?
I think we see a lot of complacency where people pick up a provider and are just happy. And I think, like you said, people do worry that the next provider might not be as good, or you know, they are a bit worried about taking a bet on a smaller provider, or they might be worried about keeping their phone number, which is something that we've seen in our research that is a major concern for a lot of Australians. So I think that, I guess my main message is that it is always worth seeing if there is a better deal and worth taking a chance with these smaller providers, because, you know, if you're not happy, you can leave. It is pretty risk-free and you're never going to be left without service, because even when we have seen these smaller providers change hands or sell their customers, you're still going to have a connection. And if you're not happy, you can just go, you know, you can go back to Telstra, back to Optus, or you can swap to another smaller provider.
Thank you very much for that. And if you're on a deal and you've got that special 6 months, you know, introductory offer, is it common for people to switch after that if they're not going to get a comparable deal?
We don't have hard numbers about how telco retention and like if customers stay on after 6 months offers. I guess personally, I'd say a lot of customers would stay on just because not to go through the process of swapping again. And a lot of telcos wouldn't make these offers if they were worried about their customers leaving. After all, it's a lot harder to gain a customer than it is to maintain one. But I get like while the system exists and while these telcos are making these offers, I think you may as well take advantage of them if a telco is going to offer you a 6 month deal and hope you stay on.
How simple is it to change?
It's really easy. Last time I changed NBN plan, I went from Telstra to Aussie Broadband and I was connected by the time I got home from work. With mobile plans, sometimes you can have maybe like an hour of downtime in between swapping plans, but I've not, from my experience, that's normally been about 15 minutes. So swapping is really easy and really painless these days.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time today, Alex. It's been really helpful and I've learned a lot.
Thanks so much for having me, Julia.
You've been listening to Alex Horosh here on Friends with Money. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.